Great to have your company on this Saturday morning. We are racing at Flemington today, and as Dan Malecki said at the start of the show, this meeting last year produced a number of Spring Carnival contenders, including the Derby winner, Johnny Get Angry. And he's been down Media Street again, Dennis Pagan, this week with Turn It Up Tommy, who is well named after Tommy. I can't remember his surname. You would know, Dan, the offsider of Harry Beitzel, who used to call the
Laif?
Football.
And, Tommy Laif?
Yeah, Tommy Laif. Tommy Laif, there you go. And he used to say, Turn It Up Tommy. So could lightning strike twice? Could this be a Derby prospect that he's unveiling in the first race? A race where the history tells us Derby horses and Spring Carnival contenders traditionally come through.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Johnny Got Angry, he made his debut in this race last year. And this fellow, he's not a bad type. I've seen a couple of his jump outs. He looks like a stayer, but he's got a bit of zip in his legs too. So he looks pretty exciting. So I think Dennis is, he's going to enjoy the ride with this newcomer. It's a template that worked to perfection last year.
I tell you, he sticks to his guns, doesn't he? Like, this one's bred to be not slow, but
he's only interested in stayers.
Yeah, which is risky, isn't it? Because you do get a lot of slow ones when you do it. This one was an $80,000 purchase by Tavachi out of a Zed mare. So if it doesn't ever turn a foot, look out. But it's not commercially. He could be making more commercial decisions as a trainer by getting shorter
term. He can only train for himself. So yeah. As he said, well, after he won the Derby, I think he said he was something like about 600,000 behind before the Derby last year.
Yeah.
Now he's 800,000 in front. So
it's a passion project, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So, now, Canaan today, incidentally, is not running because he's got a snotty nose.
So it's just a minor cold. Yeah. We'll see him. You get all of the Michael Kent mail.
Bit of mucus, actually.
You get all of the Michael Kent mail.
I don't. Have you ever tried to get mail off him?
You seem to, every time you speak about Canaan, say the horse is low flying. He's back?
No, he seems to be going okay.
That's about as subdued as Matt will get, because he knows he's going to get in a lot of trouble if that comes out publicly. Did you get any whispers about his other runner today?
Did you have a look at the replay of her run last start? Oh, we're talking about
had,
Oh So Far.
Yeah, had who, no luck whatsoever. Yeah, Mark Hunter was tipping it earlier in the week.
Yep, and she's a giant. She's, I think she's by the same sire as Mystic Journey. She came from Tassie, from memory.
Needs further, yeah.
She's the biggest horse in the stable, so drawing out will suit her. Rail out 11 makes it a bit of a skinny. Yeah. But she's not going to get caught in a traffic jam from out there.
So $9.50, that's in race number 6, where the favourite, there could be a bit of a question mark on a soft track as well. Dan, what's caught your eye today? What highlights are you looking forward to at Flemington?
Well, as you mentioned with the two-year-olds, I think we've got to really take notice of that race. Rubisaki won that same race 2 years ago as well, Cherry Tortoni last year. So clearly good two-year-olds come out of it. The filly Secret Glamour, I really like the way she won at Cranbourne, and obviously Somewhat Fabulous. So definitely follow those horses. There's a series of races, 16 to 1800, coming up over the course of the next month. So we'll get a good idea of potential Oaks and Derby horses, I would think.
And have a listen to what Peter Moody had to say about Forbidden City, a pretty good push from Moods earlier in the week.
She's a nice filly. Penny's just starting to drop with her. She's always shown us good ability, but she's been a bit backward in everything she's done. But that run at Geelong the other day certainly brought her on. And drawn a bit sticky, unfortunately. Like, from a good gate, I would have seen her being very hard to beat off the back of what she's done at home. But she's a nice filly going forward. I think she's got a good metropolitan stakes sort of class ability going forward. Is Saturday still going to be a learning curve for her? Probably yes, but I'm still hoping that ability might get home.
Yeah, so there's a push there, and there's a bit of mail for others in that race as well. So that might, I don't know whether it'll rate the same as, remember a fortnight ago with Black Caviar's Daughter and the impressive Freedman winners. I'm not sure that it's got that feel about it, but I tell you the one I do like today, and I see Dean tipped it in his placings. I wish it had drawn out a bit. Is Harlech. Is if ever a horse is ready to win, it's Harlech, and it's 16-1, Michael, in race 8.
Well, I'm keen to see Dice Roll again, Dan, in that race. I think Nick Ryan is a trainer of the future. His horses are flying at the moment. He could easily have another double today.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt about that. I'm really keen on Rubisaki. I think she gets the conditions to suit her today, the wet track. Interestingly, that race she won 2 years ago, that two-year-old race, was a race one. She beat a horse called High Stranger. And last year, High Stranger ran second to Front Page in the Creswick. And he's in the last today, and he likes the wet. So he might be a way to go. Late scratch in race eight, and guys.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Viral's come out of there. So you were talking about mucus and a horse having a cold. Well, Viral's out. Race eight, number 17.
Very good. And just on that High Stranger, that was Dino's Rama Ruffy earlier in the week as well. So that's around about a $12 chance in the last race. That Red Can Man's going to be one of the fascinating runners of the day. And speaking during the week and this morning with Gareth again, David Brightoak was very, very buoyant about the West Aussies' hopes first up.
I'll tell you what will be interesting today. Not majorly interesting to us, but certainly very interesting to South Australians, is you talk about wagering between Sandown and Caulfield, Murray Bridge today. It'd be interesting to see how it stacks up against, I think it was Parks last Saturday, because they are edging a lot closer to a complete change of everything over there, where this becomes Metro permanently, and the Parks track
I don't think punters would have an issue with that. I think the Murray Bridge race circuit is a great circuit.
Fantastic.
To watch and punt on.
Yep, absolutely. And Gawler is going to creep up a bit too, I believe.
We're going to have a chat to Nathan Exelby to get some mail on Ipswich today. We'll also have a chat to Ron Duffercy. Just rounding out, and we will come back to the world-famous quaddies. I'll give you some more time this week. We were a bit rushed last week, which
that didn't help me.
May have been an excuse. We're clutching
well,
at any
yourself,
excuse we can possibly get.
Me?
Oh, no, you took one out the first leg.
Yeah. He thought he did.
Oh, don't go there.
Yeah, exactly. Curran, are you a Curran man today, Dan?
Gee, you get those horses that have risen up in the weights today in those the races 6 and 7 up to the 60 and 59 kilos, although it's set weights. But he was so impressive the other day. The wet track's the query, though, isn't it? When you're a soft 7, it is wet. So there's a difference between the dry tracks he comes through. He was just so dominant that even if you wanted to pot him, you just can't leave him out of your exotics.
Yeah, no, well, I'm hoping for it. I love these little cheapies.
Well, $600.
Great story, yeah.
And well and truly over $200,000 later. Now, is Nathan Exelby there? We might head up north and have a chat to him, because it is Ipswich Cup Day. No, he's not quite there yet. All right, we'll get him very, very soon. 2 minutes, okay.
Gee, it'd be interesting to see if he can good health could settle today.
While we've got 2 minutes, there's a lot of SMS traffic that has come through in the last little while. And a lot of it has been, why would Sandown members vote yes to develop? Excuse me, because my computer's running very slow as I try to read these. They're not racing people who want to watch racing. Do they get a dividend or something? That's from Sock from Forest Hill. Well, that's just the way the structure has been set up, that because it is a membership not-for-profit, they get the members vote on major decisions such as that. Boys, the MRC own Sandown, so the millions they will receive from a sale they want to spend on Caulfield, which they don't own, so why not put that money into Sandown and sell some of the land, and everyone except them would be happy instead of selling some of the land. So that argument's been used a fair few times, but they do have I think it's a 100-year lease arrangement.
They do own parcels of land at Caulfield, down Booran and
exactly.
Campbell Grove, which is worth a lot of money.
And the Caulfield track is the one that is their premier track. So that's where the Cup Carnival is run each and every year.
Well, what they're going to have is a very big PR battle. That's what they now must be bracing themselves. Every time we get feedback like this from passionate trainers and so on, it heightens the sense probably at the MRC that, gee, this is going to be a hard sell.
It will be. Administrators are tasked to leave the sport in a better position than they want. You can't sell off assets, especially racetracks. That's ludicrous. So, look, a little snapshot there from the listeners. Here's another one here. I live next door to the house that Tommy and Frieda Layef live in. They are lovely people. So it would be a good story if that horse was able to perform well this morning for Dennis as well. All right, Nathan Exelby is there. Let's try and find a winner now at Ipswich on Ipswich Cup Day. And you're talking about, he's not there today, but if there was one man that I could see wandering around with the snake skin white boots, cowboy boots, and the big buckle around the Ipswich area, it probably would be Nathan Exelby. How are you, X?
Oh, that's so harsh. I'm more tropical when you had
like
a go. You're
describing him
time.
As Bob Catter, basically. Are you the Bob Catter of racing scribes now, Nate?
I'm not. I wore a floral arrangement one day with Michael was there with Mick Sharkey, and I copped a lot of grief for it. But that's far removed from what was just described.
You're a chameleon, Nath. You're a chameleon.
So what's the market on the punch on today? Is it in the red yet after the last?
Yeah, it opens in the red, mate. Opens in the red. the infield is the favourite there. So, look, it's worth going to. I've been to the last 10. I didn't go last year with COVID, but the 10 prior. And it is a really interesting day out there at Ipswich, and unique is a fair description of it because it's a totally different crowd to what you get at, the normal carnival meetings and any carnival, to be truthful. And it is one race day where the entire city of Ipswich gets behind it. It's their biggest day there in Ipswich, and naturally enough, with alcohol consumed, you do see some interesting things as the day moves on.
For punters who know of Ipswich and have heard of it and have bet there, and it's from Brisbane, just for clarity, how far from the CBD of Brisbane is the city of Ipswich?
You'll get there in 30 or 40 minutes.
Wow.
So sort of southwest of Brisbane, Ipswich is. It tends to get interesting. It gets hotter there in summer and it's a lot colder in winter. So today, I think they're looking at a top of 19. It's very windy here today, so it'll be a bit miserable in terms of the weather there today, and that may affect the racing as well in terms of horses that are exposed to that headwind, so you can monitor that as the day goes on. But it's very much a growing city, Matt, too, as you know, the urban sprawl. So it's become an attractive option for people who work in Brisbane but can stay in a more affordable part of the world.
Nate, the Ipswich Cup, obviously, and the Eyeliner are the two features, but there's also the Gay Waterhouse. And for mine and a lot of people around Australia, it may have more importance and people watching because it is the return of the Hall of Fame trainer, Lee Freeman. I interviewed him about a month ago, and he said, just make sure you watch the first runner I have. It'll be ready to go. So what's the local mail on Intrepidatious?
They sort of dropped off it this week. They've sort of more been Boomtown Lass and Lillimore up from Sydney, but it has to be a good chance in Trepidation. It was terrific behind Outback Barbie at Doomben two starts back. Then she just gave ground the last 100 at Eagle Farm. She's not going to be on her own there, so I think Ipswich Surfers will suit her a lot better. So just not sure how long Lee would have been able to work his magic on the horse, Michael. He wouldn't have had it for too long, I wouldn't have thought.
Probably the shortest price favourite anywhere in Australia today is going to be running at Ipswich. Incentivise. Tell us about this horse. Won four in a row. It's one of those prices people can get easily sucked into putting in them into their all-ups. Should we or shouldn't we?
I'm not a $1.20 man, Dan, but I wouldn't talk anyone out of it. I'll put it this way. This horse would have started favourite in the Ipswich Cup had Steve Tregay chosen to run there. It was jaw-dropping performance what I saw at Eagle Farm last time. He won by nine. They put the money on. Obviously been the subject of a sale since then. You'll see him down your way, but I believe there's a chance if he runs to expectations today that they'll press on to the Caloundra Cup in a couple of weeks, which he'd be well up to winning. So he's 100% agree with you. He's the most fascinating runner, and he may well be the horse there, Ipswich today, that most likely in the future to win a good race.
Now, Nath, it's a skinny track, and it usually makes you think of leaders and so on, but it quite often doesn't unfold that way when they go really hard and then something leaps over the top of them. But the Ipswich Cup, there's two I've identified, obviously an Inverloch and In Good Health, that are very positive go-forward horses, and I imagine there's one or two others. Is this going to be a hard-run cup today?
Well, it'll be up to those ones, those two that you said, because there's no other speed that I could sort of see challenging those two. So I'm with In Good Health, so I'm hoping it's not too hard run. Inverloch, he's in and out, isn't he? He's hard to catch, but when he's on song, he can keep rolling. So I'm hoping that it's not too much pressure and they don't overdo it up there and they can sort of still get away with it, because I think In Good Health, and what she did in Adelaide and then hark back to the spring in really good spring races, I think she can be too good for these.
And Moods did say to me last week that he had her too fresh for that race, that she was...
Well, she's stepping back out to the 2100, where she's better performed. So you're with In Good Health in the Cup. Who else are we backing today?
Look, another one of your Victorians, Our Playboy. Look, Paladas is hard to beat there, and the market's going that way, but I think he's going really well, this horse. He was gelded, trialled well, should have finished a lot closer at Doomben, and then you know, he got to Eagle Farm, and I don't think he fully stretched out there, but he ran into a little bit of a dead end. I think after 1350, look, I think he's clear second pick in the race, and you're getting $10 or $11 about it. I think it's just way, way over the odds about that horse. And fast forward a couple of one race before that, Peroni for Tony Gollan. She didn't run the mile out last time. She's been fresh in 4 weeks in. She's given her a trial. 1350, solidly run. I think it sets up beautifully for her.
Enjoy. Oh, you go, Dan. You got one more?
I was just going to say the eyeliner today, Amish Boy. It might be his rum springer. He's been, he gets away from the herd mentality from city life. So will Amish Boy win the eyeliner today?
I've tipped him, so I hope so. I think you'll get better than what the odds are at the moment. What's he at? Sort of 340 now, thereabouts. I think they'll back a few runners in this, but to me, it's the sort of race that should set up nicely for him. They'll go hard, be the last man standing, and really, you know, this is a new marketplace getter. It's now or never, isn't it?
Yeah.
It looks a good race, doesn't it? Hey, Nath, enjoy Ipswich Cup Day, and we'll chat during the week as we build up to the Tats Tiara, which is going to be a cracking Group 1 next week as well.
Yeah, look forward to that. Thanks, guys.
Nathan X will be joining us there. Ronnie Duffus, I think he's back in Sydney after he's been enjoying the sunshine up north, and we've got a bit of a wet deck to play on today in Rose Hill as well. How are you, Ron?
Yeah, g'day, guys.
What is the weather looking like in Sydney today and how the track will play?
Yeah, that's the big question. We've got a 7 metre rail today. I can't recall one. Someone told me the last time it was 2016. So that's a good while, a good few years ago now that we have a 7 metre rail. I don't know what that means on a heavy 8. And overcast, you know, there's a chance we might get 1 or 2 mils throughout the day here, which is always a big, big query. Just even that sleeting rain on the day just changes everything and how this track's going to play. So it's a real, you know, tread carefully day here, I'd suggest, at Rose Hill Gardens. When it's a meeting where, you know, everyone's in love with James McDonald at the moment, and rightfully so. He just keeps winning on things. And you've got to take your medicine as far as if you like him, you're taking unders.
Interesting. Glenn Boss said this week, sorry, Dan, just a quick one. Glenn Boss said this week that James McDonald's the best jockey he's ever seen anywhere in the world.
Well, from what I've seen him out of over the last 2 years, I'm nearly inclined to agree. I've seen some great jockeys come around, but he just gets better and better. I know he's attracting, you know, the better class of rides, and he's riding for whoever he wants. He's at that stage of his career. He just gets on the phone, I'll ride that. It's like George Moore stuff. Yeah. And he can just pick and choose any rides he wants with the top 10 trainers, I'd suggest. So I'd have to nearly agree with Glenn Boss there. He's at the peak of his powers.
And on 5 pre-post favourites already today, and like you say, a heavy 8. Hey, just before we get your best, there's a real shorty there today, Wicklow. It's in the first leg of the early quaddie. It's one of those prices where do you, don't you? But is he a one out and people taking early quaddies, Wicklow in race 2?
Probably. You know, the only negatives are, now, when you get these short prices in small fields, things can go a little bit pear-shaped where, you know, things slow up and you can't sprint with them and horses don't run to form. But if it was an evenly run race, you'd say, yeah, he's just a put-in-take-out job. He's a young 3-year-old. He's had the 2 starts in Australia, only a Newcastle maiden winner, mind you, and then went to the 72 last time and looked pretty good. So, yeah, I think it's short but sweet enough, put it that way.
So where do we go for the best bets today then?
Look, I think the best bet is in race 4, Lakeem. He's just been an import. He's only a $2.70 chance, but he's been an import that always had a big rap on him. You know, I remember he had his first run in Australia and everyone was all over him. He was a raging $2.80 favourite there and he disappointed. But since then, he's just been work in progress. He improved four lengths, and I reckon he improved 4 lengths last time, running second in a similar type race, a wet Rose Hill 2,000-metre race where Achiever just beat him, and Achiever will come out and run really well in the Derby in Queensland. So that form looks good for a race like this. I think he's had a 5 weeks and a little trial, and I love the fact that he was reminded he's allowed to put his nose in front when he's winning the trial, so that's good. I think he maps well 1-1 here, and I think he just out-sprints No Compromise. He's come back well. I mean, he's doing a good job at his two runs in Australia, but I just think a mile and a half back to 2000, he was in that same race as Lakeen last time, and considering that he's won a race since No Compromise, he has to carry more weight than Lakeen for finishing behind him. So I think you put all the pieces of the puzzle together, and I think he could well be the safest gamble of the day.
All right, Ronnie, good punting today. We'll tread warily and follow your mail. Just speaking of J-Mac, we don't talk about how many Group 1 or how many favourites Jay Carr is on Saturdays now, or prognosticate about how many winners she might have, because we've unfortunately crueled her a few times. But she's got 5 favourites today and 2 second favourites as well, and she's sitting on 94 Metropolitan wins. So it's the similar dominance down here with Jamie Carr, Duff.
Yeah, it certainly is. I just listening to those jockey challenge markets, Jamie Carr $1.05 and James McDonald $1.20. So that just tells you the dominance of the rides that they're attracting at the moment, and they're winning on them.
Yeah, it's incredible. We're very lucky, the calibre of jockeys we've got here. Enjoy the day, Duff.
Thanks, guys.